What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. This is the Deep Corner, episode 21. I'm Rob St. Clair, and a very special guest on today's show. From the Chicago Iceman, outside hitter Mr. Andrei Diatchkov. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
Thanks for hopping on, buddy. Real quick, right before we jump into it, I want to just let the people know that we're going to change up the schedule of the show's release a little bit. We have been doing every Monday and Friday. We're actually going to shift that to every Tuesday and Friday. So the Friday episode is going to stay the same, but no more releases on Mondays. It's going to be Tuesday instead. So not a huge deal. Just letting you guys know that are expecting the show. It'll start showing up on Tuesdays now. So anyway, Andrei, welcome to the show, buddy. It's great to see you. So you're in Houston right now, and
Yeah. You
haven't, you know, we should have been seeing you on the court in the past couple of events, but everything's gotten canceled. How have you been? Yeah. How have you been since volleyball was kind of taken away from us for a while?
Well, it's been like for me, it's been like a family time, you know, like a perfect time for having like vacation stuff, you know, because I've been working like crazy over here. So since I got the job, you know, like full-time job in one of the club, local club named Houston Stars. So I've been busy. So and sometimes I had an even problem to see my kids, you know, like kind of I woke up going to work and they still sleeping, you know, then I come back, they already sleeping. So, this kind of thing, yeah, interesting. So, yeah, but I mean, there's something that we have to go through, probably, I don't know, like all of us, and we have to keep it positive, I don't know, kind of don't get stressed so much. And I mean, things can happen in your life, you know, it can be good. If it's good, we're happy. If it's bad, you just take it as advantage, you know, and just keep going.
Yep. Yeah. We're going to be fine. We're going to get back and play volleyball eventually. But until then, until then, it's been fun to get all of you guys onto the show and just talk about your volleyball backgrounds. And you in particular have just an incredible volleyball career that I really want to get into. So let's start at the very, very beginning. Growing up in the Ukraine, how old were you when you first touched a volleyball? Like when you first really started playing?
I think in my life, I never had a chance to go in another way. And my dad is playing volleyball. But I mean, I tried in age nine, and was playing soccer, you know, it's a popular game in Europe. So I like to play soccer, and actually I was a part of the team, a local club. But then one day my dad came to me and like he said like, dude, you're going to be tall, you know. I was like, all right.
Right about that.
yeah. And I was like, all right, well, like 9 years old, what do you think about, man? I was like, I guess you're right. So what? You know, I like soccer. And I was like, no, you probably start doing some volleyball stuff, you know. And my first things was like volleyball. What is the volleyball? You know, like I see you playing that. I see you, but I don't get it. You know, like the game that I never was interesting. But then it's like you feel it. You start doing something successful, little things, and then you start enjoying, you know. And well, when you're enjoying this, you feel like, all right, I probably gonna keep going. And I kept going till 33.
So. Yeah. And in some capacity, you're still going because you're...
No, you know. Yeah, definitely I'm still going and play for Iceman. And, but, so after then, I start practicing a lot with my dad. But then he gave it, you know, like you don't listen your dad as you can listen the coach.
Yeah, it's different. That's very different from having your dad as the coach.
I started to play for school. I remember there was like a sport class that we had a team and all the guys were being in the same class, you know, and so we've been through education and plus we play for school. Then it was another school, like a sports school, where all the kids around the Ukraine, actually, they take them and they put in one big sports school.
Okay.
There was a lot of sports. So I've been there from 9th grade to 11th grade. We have 11 is the last one.
Okay.
And then I took a scholarship in the college, and I went to play in college. And after 2nd year of my education, I got an offer to play one team, professional level, local team, Ukrainian team, in Ukrainian championship. So when I decided to switch my education to the distance one. I don't know how you call it exactly. So I just show up on the time when you need to go all the tests and stuff like that. And I play already professional. 18 years old, I signed my first contract. So I start to be more independent out of my mom's and dad's budget, which kind of cool, for probably for a guy that to be already independent. So I start to live my own life. Since then, I play 15 years professionally.
15 years, and you went everywhere. So, like you said, you started out playing in the Ukrainian Super League. You did what, 4 years?
Yeah, I played for first, it was like a high league, it's kind of above. So it was my first contract. Then I went to play in another city, Super League. It's at the top league. And the very first year that I signed the contract, we won the championship. And the next team that took me, like that I signed a contract with for 2 years, it was a top team in Ukraine. So we got one championship over there and cup and cup of Ukraine. And after that, we play like one game because of the because if you're like in Europe, if you're champion of your country, you have a possibility to play European Cups. So all the champions, play European Cups, like the second place in the championship, third place in the championship, depends how what is your how is your ranking. And we play one European Cup, and we play against Italian team. We lost there. You can find it in YouTube. It's Modena, the team that I play after,
Yes, you
and
ended up there a couple years later.
yeah,
And
and they were
everybody in the volleyball world should know Modena. That is a big club in
yeah.
Italy, in A1 Italy.
But more, I'm sure Loibol knows those guys for sure because they
He
play in
played there.
Olympics. So that year, Modena has Ricardo, they had Andrea Nascimento, they had Heller, Murillo, I guess,
All the
outside
Brazilians.
hitter, all the Brazilian Olympic gold medalists at that moment. They had Andrea Gianni was the coach, is another star from the
From
past,
Italy, yeah.
Italian star. So, and we lost 3-0, I guess, in their home, and you have to play in your home. If you lose, you're out. So we beat them 3-1. Yeah, we beat them 3-1, and there is a golden set, decide who is going actually, for it. And we lost that golden set 19-17.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
And I think I scored like about 27 points that game. Which is huge for outside hitter.
Huge, massive.
Yeah. And right, like straight after the game, boom, Italian agents just,
We're all over you.
we take you,
Yeah,
bro.
that's amazing.
So, yeah, so, but they want me like so bad in the middle of the season. But I was tied up with the contract in that moment, so I couldn't go. And I was like, please, I was begging president, please let me go, bro. I want it. Like, it was a dream of my life to go play in Italy. It was like, nobody, we need to win the championship, like we need you here. I was like, all right, okay,
So
And
you did,
I finished the year, won championship and everything, and then next year I went in Italy.
yeah. And you had, let's see, how many years? 4
What do you
years.
got?
It,
4 years?
I
Yeah,
have
sounds
2000,
like right.
2009 to 2013. Is that right?
Yeah,
I tried to do my
4 years.
research. You
So
had,
four
yeah.
years, and in 1 year, because of the team failed the budget, they stopped paying one time. So I supposed to I went in Novosibirsk in Lokomotiv in
Oh,
Russia.
that's a very, very good Russian team.
Yeah. So and then that year I played with the setter Butko, the guy that played in
Yeah, still
Zenit.
plays
So
for
it was a
Zenit
setter.
Kazan.
Yeah, and Pavlov was he's also Ukrainian, but he's already Swedish citizenship.
Pavlov the opposite?
He was an opposite. I play for 3 months over there. And then I get back in Ukraine, in Italy.
And then you went to Greece, like you and I were talking about a little bit
Then it
before
was
going
2 years
to
in Greece. Very beautiful country. I love it to death. My son was born here. It was actually another funny story. My first year I signed with the team in Ireland. You know, they have one team that located in Ireland. 25,000 people live there. When it's like no time, like no summer, like a fall or winter, it's something. There's like dead people walking. There's nothing to do,
It's
bro.
no one, yeah.
It's like only the beauty of the sea. You know, like it's a clear sea, and that's beautiful. So when my son was born there, and I played 1 year over there, and he was born actually on an island, and we got blessed to have one doctor. That actually, you know, he saved my son. I don't know. It's a blessing because this guy, just check this out. This guy was working for 27 years in Athens. It's a capital. It's far away. In the hospital, he was the doctor that, you know, for delivering babies and I don't know how you call it. And he get back in serious because it was his motherland, you know, he was born here. So he get back in serious in that year when Patrick was born. And Patrick didn't get down for it was already 39 weeks, you know, is you already have to, yeah, it's already time, you know, like let's go, buddy. But he was still up and his heart rate get low and this guy decided, like, okay, we do C-section. We're not gonna risk it anymore. And you know what is the thing? He filmed it.
Wow.
He filmed whole thing, man. Entire, in yes, everything. And I saw that when he's pulling my son off, and he has three times around his neck with umbilical cord.
He
Yeah,
did so. Wow.
that's why he didn't go down. And yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah,
I
that
don't know what else to say.
just because that doctor who had a career in Athens for years
He has ex huge experience what he's doing.
happened to
He
be back on the island. Wow.
can you imagine that?
Well, that's actually
So
funny enough, that's a little bit similar to like some of you, like Loy and Bruno and like you who have played, volleyball in these crazy leagues all over the world, and now you happen to be here in the US with us, which is funny. Which I'll talk about a little bit later. So you were telling me before about your second year in Greece playing for Olympiakos and how that's another name of a club that a lot of people are recognized across many sports. Because like you were telling me that if you play for Olympiakos, you are a big deal. Tell me about that year a little bit.
So I give a little pre-story how I ended up in Olympiakos because Syros team it was like you know nobody like everybody think like oh, it's in like you know Ireland and stuff like well we had a good coach and we had a couple good players over there. So and we played quarterfinal playoffs against Olympiakos. And we went there, you play two games, we lost two, and then we get back in our island and we beat them twice.
Ooh.
And one like that was interesting. That was 3-2, we won 24-22.
Wow.
Fifth set, yes. And that was the fourth game. And that was crazy, man. That was the fans and environment around, that was crazy. And then we went there, we're exhausted, of course, of the season, and they have their own fans, and the fans in Greece, they are like,
They're
they're super
wild.
crazy. Yeah. And we lost 3-1. So, but I've been playing consistently good, especially playoffs. So, and that's how they offer me that's how they offer me. So,
well, it's the second time that you were playing against another club and played really well, and then that club was like,
"This is how it works, man. Yeah. This is how. Yeah, yeah, you have to sell yourself. You won't sell yourself just talking. You know, you go in the court and you prove
yourself.
You
do it. That's right.
Yeah, you do it because agents are not stupid. They look at you. They don't look at what you say. They look at how you play, mm-hmm. how you react in certain situations. It's the same like here in the United States with the college system. You know, you play club, you can pass dimes probably, but if you're not reacting in the right way in a certain situation, college coaches probably will find something better than you.
Yeah. It's funny, so, your teammate, your Iceman teammate, Dave Hancock on the show, he said he had a similar situation playing just like kind of in some adult tournaments here in the U.S. It wasn't nearly the scale of A1 Greece, but he said like a team that he was playing against told him like, man, we really don't want to play against this guy later, so we should probably just bring him onto the team. And that's exactly what happened to you twice. That's amazing.
Yeah. So at Olympiacos, it's a famous club for stealing the best players from different teams, you know. After when I left, they start hunting people all around Europe, you know, and they increase the budget and they start just inviting people. They bring back Agamis, the Colombian opposite.
Oh, I remember him.
He is jumping like a crazy man. And so they start shooting like pretty interesting names. So yeah, Olympiacos was also a very good year. After that, I went in France. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, because that's at that point you're kind of you're the veteran. You've been playing professionally for almost 10, 15 years, and like everybody at that point, you're probably playing with a lot of 18, 20, 22-year-old guys.
Yeah, we had some young guys, and you know, being young and know how it's important to have help. You know, I've been always helping young guys to be successful, to succeed every single practice. Even, you know, it's important to when you push yourself, because it's really thin line between when you are can push yourself and when you go over this line, you feel outstanding, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is this feeling, like I would probably the only one thing that I can miss that I'm missing right now, this feeling when you feel that you've done so much that you go in another level.
Yeah.
And those young guys, they don't feel it yet. And, you know, I really want, like, how you have 12 players, you know, and you want to have a productive practice. But if those guys are not performing, you know, that's kind of tricky. So that's why I always help them be successful. So,
but in the kind of the same... the same like way of thinking, if you now that you're 35 could tell yourself when you were like 18, 19 or 20, as you were like starting to play professional volleyball, if you now could give your younger self a piece of advice, what would it be?
Yeah, I would say, Andre, don't be an asshole. Nobody appreciate it.
Yeah,
because I've been a bad guy. Yeah, I was like, kind of, look at me, I'm the best. Why you don't set me this? Why you don't set me that? And thanks God I met the right coach.
Yeah.
He put me back in the place. And then from their moment, like, I start playing different volleyball.
How about, I've talked to some people on the show about regional differences in volleyball, mm-hmm. and in a couple cases, country to country. And you played in so many top leagues in Europe. Is there a like volleyball style difference that you can kind of describe between, I don't know, say Ukraine or Greece or Italy or France or even Russia?
Style, I don't think it is a style. I would say more level.
Okay.
Because style, what we call style, more fast game.
Sure.
Italy was crazy. They were
speed.
They were jumping and yeah, they jump in the air before the setter set the ball, so they were super fast. But then you adjust your play, you adjust your position, you know, it's everything. Like in professional level, you play, you look at the numbers and you play.
Yeah.
you know, you cannot go against numbers. There is always statistics, there's always data volley that scoutman working for you to give you the best information that you need before the game. So I don't know if you ever heard that. Normally you have two video sessions before the game.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes three, depends on the coach, how crazy he is. You know?
but at the end of the day, you can be prepared only so much and you just have to go out and play.
Well, you watch the video and then they give you papers. So you have to study.
Yeah.
You have to know where to go in certain situation. And it's not like only, oh, if the setter sets you to back, then you close line. No, if the pass go from one, then setter has a tendency to set 75% back, 10% in zone four, and 5% to middle. It's mean middle never jump with middle.
Right. Yeah. He's.
You know what I mean?
He's going.
And your and our outside hitter don't even help a middle. He's just already because of 75%. So it's not just the simple information. They give you whole picture, man, whole picture. They analyze like from 7 to 10 matches, you know. Those guys doing a really, really great job.
And that's what you were talking about. College teams in the U.S. are starting to kind of take it that level of film that seriously now.
I hope so. I hope they do.
They definitely are, at least at like the Big Ten level for college. Mm-hmm. I know they certainly do. I've been in film sessions when I was at Purdue, and they have every match that their opponents have played all year, and they'll have gone through and taken out, like you said, the situations and the certain rotations. Setter, I don't know, setter rotation five. She has a slide hitter. She has a, you know, an outside hitter.
Yeah.
Maybe she has a big hitter.
Exactly.
And like where the pass is and where she wants to go, the percentages, it's pretty similar. And that is, there's a lot of data that you kind of have to understand. But when
from 5 to 10 pages like that, then you're like, Jesus Christ, when are you gonna finish? Like all numbers, all the directions, all the percentages, you know. And it's interesting. I mean, this makes this game, don't be just to pass, set, and hit. You
That's
know?
Right.
This is what I coach my team. Like, don't think it's just, you know, just simple pass, simple set, simple hit. If you score, yeah, hey, you know. If you don't, well, whatever.
Well, get to the next one. Yeah, there's so much more to than that.
It's gonna be way more attractive than that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's very attractive, and people who like in Europe, in particular, the quality of spectators at volleyball matches is like. It's unbelievable. I always just wanted to go to like a match in Poland or something where they have 50,000
people. I've been in Greece, man.
We
played final of the championship against Spauk in their arena, and there was 12,000 people, all black and white, like a Spauk colors. So I think I have it in my Instagram account.
Which, by the way, everybody must go follow. It's on the screen here at volleyball.advice. Give Andrea a follow. He's got all kinds of great like volleyball coaching stuff and a very cool logo that we were talking about earlier than this.
Yeah.
Go give him a follow. You will not regret it. So before we talk, kind of shift gears to what you've been up to since you've been in the US, I want to do this little quick, like rapid fire question segment that I've been doing with my past couple of guys. So I'm going to ask you just a bunch of quick, fast questions, and you just give me the first answer that you can think of. Okay,
like one word answer or just something?
Just something quick. Anything quick is fine.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Early mornings or late nights?
Late nights.
What's your favorite song to warm up to for a match?
Jesus, a lot. Can I call the brand Blink-182?
Nice. Yeah. Perfect. What's the best day of the week?
Sunday.
Okay. Which do you like better, a stuff block or a service ace?
Tough block, man. Yeah.
What's the best meal? What's the best meal to eat after a match?
Milkshake.
Milkshake, nice.
What's protein shake? Yeah, protein milkshake.
What's the hardest position in volleyball?
Hardest. Oh, Jesus, middle blockers.
Good answer. What's your favorite number to wear on your jersey?
One.
Me too. Great choice. cats or dogs?
Dogs.
What's your favorite sports team of all time in any sport?
Team,
Yeah.
Barcelona.
Soccer. And how about who's your favorite athlete of all time in any sport?
Well, I have to think about that. Jesus, I have many because it's different sports, and I follow all of them. Michael Jordan, MJ, bro,
Oh yeah.
MJ.
Oh, yeah, I've been watching that documentary just like everyone else is
Jesus,
coming
it's
up.
amazing.
It's
The
so good.
best.
It's so good.
The best.
And
Yeah.
then lastly, which is stronger for you, loving winning or hating losing?
Loving winning.
Hmm.
I don't know what it's been. I
No.
just
That's a great answer. Winning, man. Winning is awesome.
For sure, man. That's why we're practicing, actually.
Yeah.
That's why we you go every single day and you sacrifice your time with the family. Yeah, that's why, of course, winning.
That's what it's all about.
I feel so happy after like hard work week, then 3-2 game and you won it and you go back home and you're like, oh my God, that's such a good feeling.
That's just a great feeling. So, after you were done playing full time in France, you and your family moved to the US. You moved to Houston. And like you kind of mentioned earlier, you've been working like you're directing the gym right there in Houston for the Houston Stars Club.
So no, this not my this is not my main job. My main job, I'm a, right now assistant director, boys director,
Okay, for the club.
and and I'm coaching. So I kind of full-time employee in Houston Stars Volleyball Club, and you can remember. I know you won't remember that, but when I got invited, by the way, Collie called me and she's like, "Hey, I got 11 players in AVCA convention demoing. Like, do you want to go?" I was like, "Jesus Christ, of
Yeah.
course, of course, I want to go."
For some reason, I actually haven't talked about that, like the AVCA convention demonstrating that much on the show yet, but we've had guys over the past couple of years and then this past year for the VLA that
That's
went,
huge, man.
yeah,
That's huge.
in Pittsburgh, that you went and were the demonstrators on the court for all these huge coaches to like
I think it
demonstrate
was
their
not in
drills.
Pittsburgh. I think it was Minneapolis.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, Minneapolis.
Am I
Sorry.
right?
Yeah,
Minneapolis?
you're right. Pittsburgh was last year.
Sorry,
Yeah,
2018.
all these these like superstar coaches and you guys are the players on the court like doing the drills
Yeah,
for
I
the.
met them for a long time. I didn't see Luka Slabe.
Yeah.
He's a friend of mine. He was a coach of Slovenian national team after his college here, playing college here. So, and he knows me. He knows the guy that it was the best friend of the one, not was. He's a best friend of mine. So when I met him and I was demoing on the court while he was coaching, that was kind of cool. See John Sparrow and and
Karch
Lukaszka. Yeah, so that was awesome.
That was
And
cool.
that time I was looking for a job because I need to, I need to go back home or I can stay. So and I got a lot of connection. Thanks, Kali, again, because that was huge. She helps me. All the guys were super nice and tried to help me. But the things are going from somewhere that you never expect.
Yeah.
So I've been talking with, so she get me connected with John Sample is TAV Dallas is the top team in the United States, I guess. And we start to going forward. He was interesting. He tried to hire me, but the thing is that he was kind of late because my visa get expired.
Yeah, okay.
And I need this right away, And was a lot of other guys that tried to help me out. And one friend of mine here in Houston, when I get back from Houston, he was like, "Hey, there is a guy that, you try, you never know." So when I try, and I was like, "Yeah, man, I'll take you." And then we start process like visa procedure.
That's great.
And
And yeah, you and your family got to stay in the US
yeah,
and
so
that.
then we're back in Ukraine, and then we come back again here. And so I'm coach, I'm like a training director, I kind of I'm watching other coaches doing stuff, try to to give some advice, you know, like try to see what needs to be done in a different way. Of course, not my final decision, but I'm one of those people.
Yeah, well, it helps to have someone with as much playing experience as you have in the gym, anywhere at any level.
Yeah,
like that, it's incredibly valuable to have someone who's touched the ball in so many places and at such a high level. So I've had a couple guys on the show that have, you know, kind of transitioned in from playing at a really high level to coaching at whatever level it is. What's the biggest like difference for you between how you approach volleyball as a player versus as a coach?
It's a great question. Cause I was thinking about that, in the way that I start to remember things, what happened with me when I was a player.
Yeah.
And sometimes even in the pro level, you got a bad coach.
That's like, true.
That's happened. That's can be. And what are you going to do? Are you going to give it up because of the bad coach? Like, it's very easy to blame someone or everybody around
you. Other than yourself, yeah.
Yeah. But it's hard to stand up and find a solution. And I had a family always with me, you know, when you travel. And I kind of appreciate that, that my wife, and then when my son was born, and, you know, they've been always with me. And you don't have a chance to step back. And you have to find a solution because things are not going well mm-hmm. in the season. And you're professional. You're signed a contract, people paying you, and you have to, you know, you have to go. As long as you need.
Yeah, you have to do your job.
So you start exactly, and you start to coach yourself. I start to coach myself. I start to figure out. I start to talk with the people. If the coach is not responding, like the current coach, then I start to talk with my previous coaches and try to find a way. What I'm doing right? What I'm doing wrong? You know, and. Believe me or not, that I start to educate myself to be a coach. And I don't know, but, you know, sometimes people say, no, you know, coaching is not something that I want to do. I don't feel myself being coach. You know, I play professionally. That's fine. It's done. Next step, you know, like mm-hmm. next page. I feel like coaching is something that I really enjoy. And being here in Houston and participating in different tournaments, you know, the local people start to recognize who I am and start to know me more. So I'm coaching right now, not only girls in the club. I have some boys that want to get better and compete in the, you know, this different adults tournaments, you know.
Yeah.
So they're coming and practicing with me. So kind of thing, you know. So, I mean, that's interesting. And every level for me, it's a new challenge and new something new that I enjoy.
Yeah, that's well said. You never know exactly when you go to a new team or whatever, exactly how your relationship with the coach is going to be. And like you said,
absolutely,
if it's not great, then you still have a job to do. And I love what Loy said when I interviewed him about what it takes to be a professional, what it really takes to, you know,
Jesus Christ,
from when you wake up to when you go to bed, you are a professional. And you talked about that a little bit, like before we started recording,
yeah. I mean,
that's what it takes. And yeah, if it requires that you, you know, kind of have to start coaching yourself, you do whatever it takes because you're a professional. And,
exactly.
And now you're a little bit more of a professional coach, which is funny. And it's cool that you find that really enjoyable and a new challenge, because you're right. A lot of people, either they kind of get into coaching or they don't. And those that do, I'm really interested to pick their brains about their, you know, how their playing experience influences them as coaches.
And that is interesting because when I got here, I don't know how to position myself, you know, like I'm kind of an ex-professional volleyball player, you know, and some people, they're like, you know, what does it mean, you know, being professional? So, and then you have to explain that because there is no, like before VLA, there was no professional league in here, you mm-hmm. know.
And nobody understood the significance of where you had
played.
Nobody
understood what's going on. Yeah, there was a club, college, and after that, okay, if you're good enough, you go overseas. If no, then you just
you're done.
Stop.
Yeah.
You stop. And relay actually is a huge deal. I mean, I really appreciate the guys that doing stuff like that's like really. I talk with Colly about that, and it's like, if you need my help, just you know how to find me.
That's right.
I'll do my best.
Shout
I don't know
outs
exactly what I can do, but I'll
to
do my best.
Coley. Shout outs to Coley again. Coley Palakowski is such a rock star for the VLA. I had her on the show. Go check out that episode. But yeah, having a guy like Andre here as playing for the VLA immediately adds legitimacy because of like people who really get the game on an international scale recognize your name and know where you've played and know what you've done. And when we finally get to back out on the court this summer or whenever it is, having you out there is gonna be awesome. So talk to me
Thank
a
you.
little bit before we get you out of here. How did you get connected with the Chicago Icemen of all things? Because I think you're the only guy on their team that's not like connected to Chicago in any way.
When I got here in Houston, there's a huge volleyball community here and a lot of guys playing indoor and outdoor. And one of the guy named Tung, he is the official referee for USAV, and I think he's refereeing everything. He's like in college in D1, D2. I think so he knows people, definitely. And he, I started to talk like there is anything, and I was like, let me. I think he contact Collie about that, or he give me her email. And I emailed her about like who I am, that I'm here, I'm interesting to play somewhere. If there is anything, just let me know. And she responded me pretty quickly, and she said like, okay, we have this and that, and there is a contact. And I think I didn't even send out to everybody. I just don't remember the step-by-step process. But I think Tim from Iceman,
Tim
he reached
Faulkner.
me out. Yeah. He reached me out and he said, yeah, we're definitely interesting. Like, come on, man, let's play. And I was like, oh, wow, of course.
Well, it's going to be
Chicago, Chicago Iceman.
oh yeah, another kind of situation where the other teams that didn't reach out to you are going to regret it. They're going to wish they did once they're playing
I don't
against you
know,
this
maybe,
summer.
man. You never know. But I met like a lot when I played, like in it was almost a year ago, huh? Yeah, it's almost a year ago. Jesus. So I met all those guys are super nice. They're willing to help you and if any questions, and especially in Chicago, my guys. Super nice. We had a lot of fun.
I'm in Chicago now. I moved here about 2 weeks ago, so I'm can't wait to
Cold. It is
huh?
cold, it is icy.
It's icy. There's a reason why the team's called that.
Exactly.
Whenever we're allowed to go back outside, there's a lot of volleyball to be played, and you and I are both going to be a big part of that wherever and whenever it is. So
Yeah.
everybody, stop what everybody is doing and go follow this guy on Instagram right now at volleyball.advice. You do not want to miss what the stuff that he has going on his Instagram day to day, and also just Google this guy. There are a few people that I've had on the show. Yeah,
Googling.
like you can Google Loy Ball. You can Google Andrei Diatchkov. Just you'll like what you see. And until we can like put him in front of y'all live in a match, go look the guy up. There's a lot of great
Yeah,
volleyball.
and I discovered yesterday that I can still jump, and though I
That's
had
right.
a
Yeah.
workout for a year, I can still jump. So I mean, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, you're telling me your workout stories earlier, the jump training thing. That's awesome. Well, buddy,
Yeah.
thank you so much for calling and hopping on the show. It's been awesome to kind of get your personality out here to all the people that are going to be watching. I can't wait for everyone to listen to this. So, Andrew, thanks so
Let
much.
me tell you something about things that you're doing.
Okay.
So when I first time I play, I think it was in Lois facility
Yeah, maybe 2 years
that I
ago.
play. And when you organize like you, I mean, organization organize those games, I met you first time and I was like, oh, that's kind of because I didn't think we played first game, but so I started watching. I was like, oh, there is a guy who's who is talking?
Oh, when I when I was
commentating. And I started to, man, even in Europe, they're missing up last names, position. They don't know what they're doing. They just the regular, you know, like they're doing stuff with the soccer. Then they call them, hey, let's commanding something like an water polo, you know, something. Like. So he goes there. Then he's like, I don't know, something else. It can be whatever. There's volleyball. Oh, this guy from right side, he is hitting, but why the referee is whistling? You know, he doesn't have a clue.
Dude, I know.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of awesome. And I was like, okay, let me see this guy. Like, I wanna talk to him. And remember our first meeting, I was like, man, you're doing a great job. And you really do. And
thank
I really
you,
appreciate what you're doing. That's
thank you.
Man, that the thing that you're doing, it's amazing. And it's priceless. So you keep doing. I wish you all the best with everything you're doing right now. And again, if you need my help, man, I'm here for you.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Andrew. That means a lot. Because when I met you too, that same tournament, this really tall guy who I didn't recognize walking to the gym, and I knew most of the players. I'm like, who is this guy? And as soon as I saw you play, I was like, wow, I was blown away. And then getting to know you that weekend, you're just such an incredibly awesome person. It's been great getting to know you. So that that compliment means a lot, man. I appreciate that. So thank you so much.
Man.
I will. Thank you so much again for coming on the show. I can't wait
Absolutely.
For people
thank
to hear
you for
this
having
episode.
Me.
Everyone, thanks a lot. Remember, a little schedule change to Tuesday, Friday now for episodes. We will see you next time. Thanks.